Les colloques du Collège de France.
We'll give us the final presentation of the day before we move to the panel discussion. So Laura Kraling is a management scientist. She studied, got a PhD in Université Paris-Saclay. And she's passionate about the intersection of academia and industry. And she's first worked in the private sector and now has moved to working at the OECD, where she's a policy analyst and works on topics related to the governance of emerging technology. So Laura, we look forward to your talk.
Merci Stéphanie, merci pour l'invitation d'intervenir aujourd'hui pour la dernière présentation. Thank you for the invitation. I'm delighted to be presenting OECD's work on responsible innovation neurotechnology to you here in my talk. I'm looking to cover three broad areas of our work. First of all, I'll introduce what Karen and Hervé briefly mentioned in their talks, the first international standard in the field, the OECD recommendation on responsible innovation in neurotechnology. I'll then talk briefly about recent work that, amongst other, this recommendation has influenced, but in the larger scale of the governance of emerging technologies. And then I would like to end with a live demonstration. I'll show you a recently released toolkit that we built in order to help stakeholders to implement this legal instrument. Now, I know this is a public audience, so I've prepared a couple of introductory words about the OECD. It's an international organization. We are based here in Paris with 38 member countries. We have three primary functionalities. We do policy research, we convene experts and policy representatives, and then we also develop international, what we call soft law, in many policy fields. And one of the examples we'll cover today, which is the recommendation on responsible innovation neurotechnology, it's an organization that centers primarily on economic policy making. And I come from an area that looks specifically on science, technology, and innovation. And we focus, amongst others, on health, which is a major pillar of the work that we do in our division. Right. So in this first part of my talk, I'll introduce to you this first international standard. You can access it directly by scanning the QR codes. I have a couple of QR codes in my slides for you to access these documents that I'm referring to. It's a legal instrument, 457, that was adopted in December 2019. And the main aim is that it guides governments and innovators to anticipate and address the ethical, legal, and social challenges raised by novel health-related neurotechnologies while promoting innovation. It is seeking to guide guidance at each step of the innovation process, starting from research and going into technology transfer, investment, commercialization, and regulation in order to maximize benefits and minimize risks. Actually, that was the slide that Hervé presented to you, because at the core of this recommendation, there are nine principles. I'm not going to spend the whole time of my talk here to talk you through these principles, but really to bring to your attention that they cover broad areas from starting the assessment of safety, promoting inclusivity, fostering scientific collaboration, society deliberation, enabling capacity of oversight and advisory bodies to address novel and issues in neurotechnology, safeguarding personal brain data, promoting cultures of stewardship and trust when public and private sector work together, and also anticipating and monitoring the potential unintended use or misuse of neurotechnologies. And these are high-level normative ideas that are embodied in these nine principles, and each of those nine principles has sub-principles. You will see that when I'll take you through the recommendation toolkit that we've developed, and the way that we've then moved into turning these high-level ideas into practical ideas for implementation. But before that, I have dedicated a couple of slides to explain to you how this instrument how this instrument was developed. And you can think of it in three phases. So on this timeline here, I'm actually zooming from 2015 to today, to 2024, and even beyond. So I've structured this into three parts. Phase one is the drafting and the development of the instrument. Then the phase two is, you can think of as the sort of dissemination and implementation phase from 2020 till today. And then there's also a reporting and a potential revision of the instrument planned that I'll outline at the end. Of my talk. There's been two major milestones in this whole process over these years, which is the adoption of the recommendation itself in 2019, and then also the recently released implementation toolkit that I'll talk about and I'll show you at the end of my talk today. Right, so let's first look at the phase one, which you see here the key milestones in the development of this instrument. There was an early drafting started by the OECD member countries, with the Secretariat, and these early drafts were then discussed in various fora and consultations, expert consultations, for example, in Washington. There was a big Shanghai workshop in 2018. An advanced draft was discussed here in May and in 2019 until the instrument was adopted at the end of the year in 2019. So this was really a multi-stakeholder process where not only the OECD member countries, but also other experts like Hervé, like Olivier, Karen, like others here in the room here, have contributed to. Now, let's move to the phase on the implementation side of things. So now I'm talking about what we've been doing since 2020, since this recommendation has been existing. And the main aim of all of the initiatives that I'm going to talk about is about building capacity of the adherents and other recommendation stakeholders to put into action the recommendation and its sub-principles. Now, you can think of it in different forms of activities that we've broken down into objectives, but essentially this comes down to creating forum for exchange and dissemination to stakeholders, which we have done based on workshops, events, and publications I'll outline to you in my next slide. We've also looking to translate these high-level norms into policy practice, and for that we've been building tools and guidance resources, and one of them will be the toolkit that I'll show you later today. And then fourthly, there's also the mandatory reporting to the OECD Council. That's the highest legal body in the OECD, and that's mandatory 5 years after adoption of the instrument, which means now in 2024, there's a monitoring exercise about the implementation efforts of our adherents in terms of the instrument. And I'll also tell you a bit more on that. So let's start with the workshops and events. So I'll now continue my timeline, but we now look at the time between 2019 and today. I'm not going to summarize all of the events to you. You can find most of them online, and if not, you can ask me about it. But really, the message of this slide is that we have been engaging with different institutional actors, for example, the Council of Europe, where we discussed in 2019 about the question of neuro rights. We had certain events that zoomed in on some of the principles. We had an event that should have taken place in Zurich, which we had to have online, where we zoomed in on the principle on deliberation and inclusivity and on public-private collaboration. Then we had workshops in which we convened private sector actors in Paris together with a network called BrainMind from the United States, where we discussed with different sizes of companies and also investors what these ethical ideas means and how this could be translated into the private sector. We've presented at academic conferences and also most recently co-organized with Karen a workshop at a BrainMind summit where we had small groups around the potential resources that we are looking to develop for private sector actors. And now, most recently, in April this year, we released the first version or the initial version of the what we call Neurotechnology Toolkit, the implementation resource primarily geared towards policy actors to implement and give ideas about implementation of these 9 principles. Before I take you through that in the last part of my talk, I also thought that some of you might be interested. So what have adherents actually done and what are the country examples in terms of implementation efforts? And so far, there's not been from our side a structured assessment of this that's actually happening this year. But so far, we've been hearing from our delegates initiatives in their respective countries. We just heard, for example, from Hervé about the French Charter, about the development the French Ministry of Higher Education and Research, they led an initiative in which they looked at the 9 principles and they derived their charter selecting and forming it to the French neurotech ecosystem. As Hervé just explained to us, there's also an example from Germany, from the ministry, in which they developed a research funding guideline, so an internal guideline for the ministry when they do, then when they write project proposals, that they require researchers to talk about the ethical implications of their research, how they are treating brain data. Ideas that are in the recommendation that translated into rules around funding and for researchers to respect in order to get grants. There are early efforts in Japan about the development of a national strategy. And then there's an example from Japan that I'd like to spend a bit of time on because I thought it's a really interesting one. It revolves around public communication and awareness raising. That's a point that I've been hearing on a couple of points today where there were the points about how can companies talk in a way that they avoid hype and overstatement? How can researchers talk in a way that they are being understood by other audiences? And so what they have done in Japan is they developed two resources. It's part of a moonshot, what they call a moonshot program, partially funded by the Japanese government. And they developed what they call a neurotech guidebook and a neurotech evidence book, two resources that were initially developed in Japanese and that have now been also translated into English. The audience of the neurotech guidebook is the general public to inform them about the current situation and challenges around neurotechnology products. And it actually includes a mapping that you'll see on the next slide where they discuss the OECD recommendation principles in certain aspects in the guidebook. And there's also the latest release in last year was a neurotech evidence book which targets users and companies. It centers around questions that come up in these communities and that this leaflet or this document informs them about. So here in this slide, you see the neurotech guidebook that I talked about. There are different topics that are being discussed, such as compliance with laws, regulations, and guidelines, assurance of safety, scientific validity, consumer support and protection. And then the orange rows are the nine principles from the recommendation, and they have nicely mapped out how certain ideas from the OEC recommendation have informed the way in which this resource has been created. Now, the third phase, to come back to my initial timeline, I'm now in 2024, and I'll talk to you a bit about the reporting to council, which also answers some of the questions we've heard about what's the status of this legal instrument. So all the adherents, which means all of the 38 OECD member countries plus Brazil, they have a responsibility to implement the recommendation in their respective countries. It's a moral obligation because the recommendation is a piece of soft law. And now in 2024, as we come up to the 5 years past the adoption of the recommendation, there's a mandatory reporting to the highest body at OECD, the Council, on the relevance and implementation efforts of all adherents. So for that, we are going to now in the summer have a monitoring survey sent out to all of our adherents. And this survey, the survey insights will inform the potential revision of the recommendation, depending on what we hear from our adherents on the implementation of the instrument and on their views about its continued relevance. Right, so this brings me to the end of the first part of my talk on the OECD recommendation. I'll now like to move to a part in which I will talk to you more broadly about OECD's approach to the governance of emerging technologies, and I'll come back to the recommendation, which has informed a new piece of a general framework. So we heard from Karen in her talk the pacing problem. So on the one hand, tech is moving really fast, and the question is really on when is the right point in time to govern. There is in the literature, actually from the 1980s, the so-called Kollenrich dilemma that I assume most of you have heard about, which talks about balancing on the one hand of governing too early, meaning that the full consequences of a technology might not be apparent at this point. There's a danger of misguided or inadequate regulation, and unnecessary regulation can also constrain innovation. Then, on the other hand, if you govern too late, changing of course is really hard. It becomes expensive, difficult, and time-consuming, and there's a risk of end-of-pipe solutions that are probably coming in too late. Now, OECD's been taking an international approach to emerging technology governance and responsible innovation by developing these legal instruments. I just explained one of them to you, which is the recommendation on responsible innovation in neurotechnology. There's a twin or a sister recommendation on artificial intelligence. And we really see opportunity in coordinating and harmonizing efforts to promote efficacy and efficiencies, to promote joint evidence gathering, building good practices, value-based benchmarking, and minimize the race to the bottom in technology tourism. So what we have now, and this is the latest edition or the latest product that we've developed, informed by those legal instruments, by having looked across the different OECD materials that we've produced over the years, a framework for anticipatory governance of emerging technologies. So picking up the idea from this Kollnitzsch dilemma that you need to anticipate and govern technologies early. And at the heart of this framework, which was welcomed by science and technology ministers just in April this year, are five core elements, and I'll spend a bit more time on those five elements. They are guiding values, strategic intelligence, stakeholder engagement, agile regulation, and international cooperation. So the five elements of you see here on the left-hand side, and they aim to, and with this framework, we're looking to equip governments and other innovation actors and societies more broadly to better anticipate and prepare for and act on governance challenges in future emerging technology contexts. It builds longer-term governance capacities to deal with emerging technologies more effectively and efficiently. So this framework draws on high-level guidance, as I just mentioned, coming from the analysis of relevant OECD legal instruments in prior OECD work. To make that more transparent to you, what I mean, this is a summary slide where you see on the left-hand side the major recommendations that have informed this framework, as well as other key landmark publications from OECD, which have all sort of been analyzed and now brought together in this framework. It's currently being elaborated in a horizontal project, which means from across the house at OECD, experts from the Public Governance Directorate, from the responsible, from the financial affairs, so the responsible business conduct colleagues, the AI colleagues. So we work across the house at OECD in order to develop this framework and now also implement it. The rationale of building this sort of tech agnostic framework, where they are listed here on this slide. I'll just pick a couple in the interest of time. Balancing risks and benefits of emerging technologies under conditions of political, technological, and economic uncertainty. How to adapt governance to converging technologies that cut across multiple regulatory categories. And also how to address the mismatch between the transboundary nature of technology and the jurisdictional boundaries of governance and regulation. And of course, making technologies more effective, inclusive, and democratic. So I'll now just focus on two examples to explain to you a bit what we mean with these five elements. And I'll focus on guiding values and stakeholder engagement, because I think that will resonate a bit nicely with what we've been hearing today. So the framework sets out at, they're on the one hand the foundational values, and then there are also technology-specific values. And each of the elements we have that you see listed in this figure here, and each of the framework elements, there are certain key actions proposed to policymakers. In the case of the guiding values, it states the framework states that to enable deliberative, accountable, and trustworthy processes to prioritize and specify values in a given technology context, create fora within and across diverse communities, and ensure information integrity. Also, embedding these values throughout the innovation cycle is a recurring issue that we discuss in the framework, requiring actors to align technology development with values, in particular institutional contexts. And the other element I just briefly explained to you in a bit more detail, also because I think it resonates nicely with the talk that we had from Jen earlier today, and also other points made by previous speakers, are the sort of tools around engagement and effective stakeholder engagement in these processes. And we are proposing, or we're putting forward, that depending on the purpose that the engagement with which stakeholder engagement is conducted, there are different techniques that are most suitable. So it's about, if it's about capacity building, then there are different sets of tools and techniques needed then for communicating and consulting with stakeholders or for co-creating technology with them. So with that, I'm coming to the end of my talk about the framework and about OECD's general work on anticipatory governance of emerging technologies, just to wrap up. So our plans for this year is that we have four reports in the pipeline that look at more detailed aspects of the framework and building out, for example, more case-based analysis around forward-looking strategic intelligence and upstream approaches to agile and adaptive governance, as well as two horizontal reports that look at the business code of practice across the five dimensions and also the governance of artificial intelligence. And then as of next year, we're currently scoping a project. So there's a project proposal under discussion that is looking to apply anticipatory governance to converging technologies. And there are two fields in particular that we're interested to look at, which are biotechnology, AI convergence, and then also brain-computer interfaces. So with that, I'm coming to the third part of my talk, but just quickly to recap, I've talked to you about the tech-specific principles and norms embodied in an OECD recommendation. We then talked about the general framework, and I'll now show you an example of a detailed guidance, or what we call a toolkit, to implement and to bring these sort of high-level normative ideas into the real world and into practice. Before I move to the actual live demonstration, I have just two or three introductory slides to orientate you what this resource actually is. So we developed this to support policymakers and other stakeholders to implement this new technology recommendation based on the evidence and insights that we've been gathering from our implementation activities since 2020. So in its content, you will find 13 implementation goals. They are reflected in what we call topic pages, and each of the topic pages will present possible concrete actions, as well as examples that we've seen in countries. And across the 13 goals, we have over 60 examples from 18 countries today. And the implementation goals are here in these colorful boxes, and I'll explain to you in a second why these are colorful. They're also in the annex. You find publications and other resources structured according to the 9 recommendation principles. And we've designed this to be, it's an online PDF. It's interactive, as you will see in a second. And we're also looking to keep it updated. So for example, with the survey information that we are gathering this summer, we are looking to update a new version with hopefully more examples and probably on new resources that we'll learn about as the field evolves. So now just a quick word on why these colorful, these implementation goals are in colorful boxes, because actually this framework that I just talked to you about was its five elements that you see here in the center of the slides. We have structured the implementation goals guided by the framework elements. So for example, when we talk about stakeholder engagement, there are two implementation goals, which are consulting and communicating with citizens and enabling inclusive decision-making in technology development. And we hope that for users of the toolkit, depending on what your implementation goal is, it allows you to more quickly move to the part of the toolkit that is of relevance to you. And I'll show you now how this can be done. We're now in the toolkit. It's a PDF that you find, or you're finding it on two websites that I'll show you, I'll indicate to you when I go back to my slides. I'll just take 3 minutes to orientate you through this 50-page PDF document, which you're not supposed to read from the start to the end. It's not a typical publication, but we set it up in a way that you can scroll and click and basically navigate based on your interests. So you will see when you go to the introductory page, it recaps the 9 principles from the OECD instrument. And then you see quickly that there are these navigation buttons. So you will see you can select between learning more about the recommendations, history, and implementation, a bit what I've now talked to you in the last 20 minutes. But you can also discover the navigation of this toolkit or read more on the recommendation itself. So let's say you want to discover the navigation of this toolkit. You select it and you directly get to a page which explains to you the link the connection between the OECD framework for anticipatory governance, whose 5 elements are the building blocks of this resource. Here again, at the back of the at the bottom of the page, you have 3 selection possibilities. And if you're interested to explore the implementation goals that I've just briefly shown to you on the slide, you click on the implementation goals. And this brings you to a page where you have the 5 elements with the building blocks, and then say you are interested in the ones around guiding values. You click on the guiding values. You have a brief introduction of what we mean with this concept of guiding values, and then you see the types of implementation goals around ensuring safety and security, protecting data privacy, and ensuring cognitive liberty. If that's not what you're looking for, and let's say you're from the engagement community and would like to see the implementation goals around consulting, communicating with citizens, or in enabling inclusive decision making, then you would find those here in the stakeholder engagement part. Now let's say you're interested in the consulting, communicating with citizens. This brings you to the topic page around this issue, which is structured in two parts. The first part is concrete action proposals. So policymakers and funders could provide targeted support to public health organizations, researchers, and education institutions to develop educational materials and campaigns that, and then there is a list of things that you can concretely do. You could train scientists and technical experts. You can foster technology education, integrating information into health, science, and technology curricula, and so on and so forth. Then, in addition to these possible actions, you find the country examples that I mentioned. So in this case here, you find those examples always with a short description, the country or institution linked to it, as well as a link to learn more about it, which brings you to an external web page. Back on the possible actions, there's of course related to the issue of consulting, communicating with citizens. This is linked to two recommendation principles, 5A and 8C. And if you're not familiar with the recommendation or would like to learn more what that means, you basically click on the principle and it brings you to the original text of the legal instrument around 5A, promoting open communication across expert communities that you see here. Once you have read this text and you know what 5A means, you can go back to the topic that we're just exploring, consulting and communicating with citizens, and you're back on your topic page. So this is the way how we have structured this resource. Just before ending, there are two more things I would like to show you. One is about the annex, and I don't know why my view here. So in the annex, you find, first of all, the publication and other resources that I mentioned on my slide. So they are structured by the 9 recommendation principles, and these are OECD papers, reports, everything that we've been hearing from mostly from our adherents and other experts that we've been liaising with over the years. So it's a really nice repository of different kinds of resources that depend that are linked to those different issues. And of course, you find the original recommendation text. So with that, I hope that was interesting. You're hopefully interested to explore this resource a bit more. And I'll now show you, just to conclude, where you would find this online. Which is either on a session page where we had a panel in April on human enhancement, which was part of a multi-stakeholder dialogue where we released this resource. And there's also a recording if you're interested to know more about the session. You could scan this QR code here, or you go to the landing page of the oecd.org website around the neurotechnology recommendation, where you also find more information on the different activities and events that I've talked to you about in my talk now. So with that, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I'd like to hand back to you, Stephanie.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.